What is up, everybody? Welcome back. It's not Thursday, but it is Friday. We had a little coaching debut for my softball girl, so I couldn't make it the other day. But we are jumping in. We're going to go into episode five, kind of top or six, whatever we're at, talking about, you know, ADP startup, some targets, some fades. We're going to be going through kind of our process, as you can see on the screen if you're watching this on YouTube or if you're watching this on X or whatever you want to call it. And then we're going to be talking about actual go through ADP. So what we're going to be diving into is ADP from Adeco's site. It's called Dynasty Data Lab, and we're going to be kind of going through what we're seeing right now. It's pre-free agency ADP, but I think still has pockets, and we're going to be able to talk about these type of strategies here. So I'm here with Leo Pasiga. So we're going to just dive into it, and you're going to talk about kind of, I thought it'd be good to kind of talk about startup strategy, what you have here, your tiers, and kind of how you go through that.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to diving in and talking about this stuff. So one of the things that I always try to do when I do a startup is make sure that I have that plan. We've talked about it in every episode we've done so far. Have a blueprint, kind of have an idea of where you want to go. And I think this is a good illustration of exactly what you should be, the mental gymnastics you should be doing. Because too oftentimes, I think folks, you know, they know where they're picking. Like they have the seventh pick, so they kind of play out the first round in their head. And then, all right, I kind of know who's going to be available in the second, get a player in their head. And then all of a sudden that player is gone and they're thrown for a loop. Okay, well, I was really going to start with these two. This was going to be my strategy. How did I miss out in the second round? I got sniped. What's my backup plan? So like with everything we talk about, it's just fundamentals and muscle memory and kind of getting in the habit, whether you're doing a mock, whether you're doing a startup, just doing that muscle memory so that you're ready to go and you're ready to have a plan and pivot and go in whatever direction you need to. So basically it starts off, you can see it on the screen. It starts off with my targets, right? And that's kind of what I just said. We go into that first, you know, in the first round where you're going to pick, and you're going to have a pretty good idea just based on ADP, who's going to be available. If you're picking third, you know, it's easy, right? You only have to worry about two guys going off the board first. If you're picking eighth, little different. Got to kind of factor in, okay, this is going to be based on ADP. Here's who's going to be available. How do I want to kind of build my team? And then you just, it's the first couple rounds. Obviously, you can kind of plan out. This really becomes a tool that shows its merit as you get further into the draft. And you know, more and more strategy has to get inputted into this, you know, into your roster build as you're drafting. But let's go through, let's talk about it. And you know, let's kind of map out how this would work.
Yeah. And I think it's important, like, you know, we use this ADP this year, me and I have a co-manager. We started kind of like it's a crazy league, but we did it together. And this is exactly what we did. This is a strategy we implemented. So the draft's still going because it's one of those things that it's just taken 75 days. Like it's going way too long, but we've been doing this in the my targets and the players, how we identify it. We kind of go through there. And then as we go, we've adjusted, you know, you have to pivot and you do those things. But I think it is a good point, understanding kind of where that is. You have to, like, I know a lot of guys are going to startups without going, well, okay, where's that ADP at? Where is this at? They're just kind of winging it. And that's not a plan. Having a plan and going through there. So we talked about this. We say, hey, here's our targets, must-haves or wants. We've done this in other episodes, like how we build and what we like there and stuff like that. So when you're looking at my targets, you know, I'll start in terms of just me, in terms of like, you know, I'm looking for that top quarterback if it's super flex. Like, okay, can I get that guy that I'm looking at? But with that top quarterback, there are tiers, right? And I think that there is a true tier right now after QB 8-9. Like if you're looking at top QB. So going into it, my targets will change as soon as like it hits that. Now, where do you put like a guy like Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase within that tier? Like is a guy like Anthony Richardson must have over Justin Jefferson? Or when do you start looking at, okay, the talent outweighs kind of what I want, that player, that target I have. So I do think when you're looking at my targets, you do have to have that tier base within the my targets. Okay, if these guys are on the board, this is where this ADP is at. And again, we're going to show you that ADP. We're going to show you that that website you can go to. If these two guys are here, if Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson is here, who do I want? Who's that must-have target here? And then later, if I'm going to build out, how do I find that? But that's how I look at the my target stuff. Like, these guys I want. Yes, I absolutely want Justin Jefferson. But how does the format outweigh that? Do I want Joe Burrow over that, or however you do divvy it up?
Yeah, so exactly. And I think the tiers is important. And, you know, whether we're talking about it on Twitter with a bunch of the other analysts that are out there, tiers seems to be the topic of conversation in a lot of the interactions that I'm having. And it really is the way to go. The analogy I'll make with this particular, with these layers, is like when you go to the optometrist and they put that goggles on you to test your eyes and they say, tell me what's better now. Or now, and they flip the different lenses over your eyes. And that's kind of what this is to me, right? And it's every single pick, once I get out of the first round, I really apply this. So, right, my targets, this is who I'd like to have in this round. Then it's like, okay, well, who should be available in this round, right? So then it's kind of like, now instead of having just the guy that I want to pick, now I have four above him and four below him based on that round and that pick. So it gives me a pretty good idea of who should be available.
Yeah.
Then it's the next filter. Okay, well, who's dropping? Who all of a sudden should have been a third round pick and now I'm at the end of the fourth? So I didn't plan on this. That wasn't who I expected to be here based on ADP. So now that's another lens. Okay, this value is dropping. How does that change my selection? So those first three boxes kind of work together. My targets, who I've identified going in, ADP, who should be available within that range, you know, what tiers are available within that range where I'd like to go. And then, okay, well, who's disrupted that by coming off the board early? And now there's available value that's actually dropping. So all of those three kind of get meshed in together to figure out where I'm going to go next.
Yep. And I'll give you an example. So, you know, in this draft, and I always, you know, Leo's going to be your big picture guy. I'm going to give a little bit of examples in here because that's kind of where I like to thrive too in terms of player talk. A guy like that happened in the league that we're drafting in. So this is, you know, when we're trying to do content, I always try to do like what I would do. I'm not going to tell you to go buy a player that I'm not going to buy just for clicks. And we're not going to give you strategy that we don't use. So in this draft, you know, we went really heavy in terms of the quarterbacks. You know, we grabbed CJ and Dak Prescott as our two quarterbacks, and we traded a lot of picks here. But we were sitting there, and, you know, a player that neither one of us really likes was Kyren Williams. And this was pre-free agency, so there was still stuff that could have happened or whatever. And we were looking at it. We're like, man, I just don't like Kyren Williams. But he fell to 503, and he's our running back two behind Breece Hall. And we were kind of like, at this point, based on his ADP, where he's dropping at, those are the targets that – now, we didn't identify him as must-haves. We actually said – we don't want, right? But then at a certain point, that ADP slipped enough to where it's like, all right, you know what? Our build dictates win now. We have Breece, and now we're going to have Kyren Williams there together. If Kyren can bounce, hey, and he has that top five season again, him and Breece Hall, that could win your league right there together. Those two guys, they stay healthy. So we looked at it as, you know what? You know, his fall is predicated. Like, for example, the two guys that run around him, Zay Flowers went before him, and then DJ Moore right after. Based on just value, I'd say Kyren Williams right there, the volume that he's going to get. So that's what happens there too. So we didn't have Kyren on our big board at all. We built out a big board before we drafted. He wasn't there at all, but sometimes it dictates that you have to pivot. You have to go there, and value based on ADP is a huge thing that people, I don't think, jump at. I think, and especially with how teams are getting built, every team in your league is building through the wide receiver position. Every single team, it doesn't matter. Like, they're all doing that. So sometimes you do have to pivot a little bit, and that's why we grabbed Hall and Kyren Williams. And I think that's a good duo for us as we build this roster out.
Right. I think that's a perfect example, especially if you were in the fifth and he's got a early fourth round ADP. Well, now all of a sudden he comes in on that lens that you drop in, and now you have to consider. And that kind of leads us to the next two boxes on this graph, you know. Some of the things to apply, because you're talking, the first three are really talking about player values, who you really want, what ADP, what tier, what value slipping. Now you're kind of adding the context layer. Okay, well, how is my roster building out? And he's becoming more prevalent the further, the deeper you get into the draft, this becomes more, you know, important, because you're talking now about positional need. You're talking about a roster weakness. You're talking about, you know, talent that's available against your roster and against other rosters that are being built through this draft. And that all kind of matters. And then it, once you kind of weigh that, how your roster construction is going and what strategy you're applying, then it's okay. Is there another strategy that's available? Like, let's say all of a sudden, you know, the running back value is dropping like crazy because the other 11 teams in your league are doing exactly what you said. They're building solely around wide receivers. And all of a sudden the running back value is amazing. You're still going to need to build out wide receivers at some point, but you want to capitalize on the running backs that are available, the value that's available. So now your strategy pivots because you planned on building around wide receiver. It's just not there based on how the draft is playing out. So make your team strong in another area. That's where the last two boxes really come into play.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing we identified very early. So, and to your credit, we did the same thing. A lot of guys are going youth, right? So we kind of looked at it and said, you know what, you know, based on our team, if we get Kyren in the fifth round, we're definitely going to be able to get some veteran guys later. So, and this is pre-free agency. So we grabbed Derrick Henry in the 12th round, at the end of the 12th round as our running back. You know, we're looking at a 4 or 5, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, we got in the 15th round. So like, these are guys that were like, hey, you know, as they kind of went, we're going to fill needs. Now I will say this, and this is where I'm interested to talk about this. So in this draft, it's tight end premium. It's 1.5 tight end premium. It's not a huge premium. We had Dalton Kincaid. We got redrafted Dalton Kincaid, but it's already through 18th round. And we have not taken another tight end too. And most people would be like worried about that. They'd be stressed about that. But for us, when we're looking at the board, it's like the best tight end left is Dawson Knox. And do we take Dawson Knox, or, and this is a real draft happening now, or we just took Singletary, who could be the running back one for the New York Giants next year. And it's like, that is kind of how you look at it. You don't over, I don't think you have to reach on positions either, if you're comfortable just taking that hit a little bit. And to be honest with you, if we lost Dalton Kincaid, we're going to go out and trade for a tight end anyway. We're probably not going to be putting in the tight end two that we're drafting in the 18th round. We're going to have to be active on the trade market anyway. So we kind of looked at that and said, you know what, let's take a shot on Singletary. We don't love Singletary, but again, it's all about that positional value and how you kind of go through there. You know, do you agree with that? Do you think you have to draft your, does it just depend probably context based on the league and how it's going?
Yes. I think how you handled it was exactly how you should handle it. Sometimes you have to punt a position based on value that's on the board. And we talk about not having the perfect lineup in May. It really holds true in a startup draft. You're going to have, especially one that's taking place this early, you're going to have the entire summer to make moves. And so if you can stockpile depth at a different position and take advantage of the value that's on the board, that'll give you trading chips as the summer goes on to fill in the needs that you have on your roster. You know, again, so we talk about in every show that we've done, we've talked about the variance, we've talked about identifying it. And when that value drops, you're mitigating any loss or any risk of failure. You're mitigating that at the tight end position by drafting value at another position. So you should never worry about leaving a startup draft. Let's put it this way. You should worry about leaving a startup draft with the most available talent you can get, regardless of position. Now, it's nice to leave with a well-rounded roster. It's nice to leave feeling that you don't have any immediate needs, but ultimately building the most value, even with gaps and definite black holes on your roster, is still okay, because it doesn't end. You're not going into the season with that roster. You're going to make changes. So I think that's the ideal way to look at it, and always try to get as much value as you possibly can, regardless of that need on your position. Now, if you have to start four wide receivers and you're punting the wide receiver position, that's a little bit different story.
Yeah.
Right. It's a little, the positional value has a little bit different weight to it, simply because you have to start four. So league requirements and starting requirements matter to some degree as to how you weight the position. But, you know, in a normal league with normal starting requirements, punting the position is fine.
Yeah. And I think it is too. I think when you're looking at it overall, you know, sometimes, again, we talk about it all the time, you're not filling your team in May, you're not, or March or April, whatever you're doing, you're collecting value as much as possible. I think it's hard. I think the later rounds is where I really want to identify it. So we're going to go through players in a minute. But like, it's harder though. Like, everybody's invested in those first 10 rounds. Everybody loves it. Like, they're all invested in that. And then as you go, you see the clock. It's going, okay, now it's 6 hours till the next pick and those type of things. Because over time, like, you know, I'm in some leagues with 35 round, you know, dynasty startups. Like, that's a long dynasty. So there is times where I think guys look at their roster. They're in the 17th round. Oh, I need a tight end too. I'll just take best available because I'm going to make this pick. Don't do that. Look at the ADP, the value, what is there, and then you go. You have plenty of time right now. It is March. Don't let that annoying league mate that you have that keeps saying, on the clock, like, don't let him bother you. Like, you just look and just don't fill a gap. Like, I know plenty of people look at the roster and they see, like, oh, two, one tight end or four running backs. And if you don't need to necessarily address that position based on league settings and scoring, don't rush to do it. You know, that's what this is for here, kind of adjust. And you should be doing this based on every round, like as we have on the screen there. Third round, this is what I'm going for. Fourth round, this is what I'm going for. Fifth, as it goes, I think that's incredibly important because you could drop them down into boxes. Okay, hey, they're still here. I'm doing those type of things. Having that spreadsheet open is entirely important for your startup. So before we get into players, do you have anything else in terms of this strategy, what you're trying to like build here?
The only thing I would add, because I think we've done a decent job covering this, is just the other roster builds in your league matter too. So, you know, you're paying attention to your roster. You're applying this lens to how you're drafting. But knowing what your league mates are looking for, and especially how they're drafting, sometimes it's kind of, you know, you mentioned just now talking about the person that, you know, sees a hole in their roster for tight end two and they grab it. If that's how they're drafting, if they did that with a third quarterback, if they did that with a third wide receiver, if they're plugging in those drafting based on roster needs, you can kind of get an idea where they may go. And especially if you're picking, if they're picking two picks in front of you at either on either side, that can be a little bit of an important piece of information as you're starting to plan out your team. So pay attention to how they're filling their rosters, what they're prioritizing, so you get an idea, just again, the strategies they're implementing. So I think that's valuable too.
Yeah, and 100%. And the last thing I'll say to this, and we'll move on, is, you know, as they go, as people make picks and they get upset that, like, you got their guy, or, like, because some will tip their picks and they'll say, oh, that was my guy, you sniped me, whatever. Mark that down. Note it. Hey, this guy, these guys like this player, because you can extract some value later. Like, you can definitely kind of go through
100%.
There. 100%. And it's important. And that's why I never do it. I used to do it when I was early on. Oh, you sniped me, just to kind of create that camaraderie in the group or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't want people to know what I wanted. Like, I'm not, oh, okay. Like, for example, I mean, this is a show or whatever, so I'll just say it. Like, in that draft where we took Singletary, we wanted Bucky Irving, the rookie running back out of Oregon. He went at 16-12, so we grabbed Singletary at 17-3. You know, we're not going to say anything about Bucky. We're not going to use that as like, oh, man, I wish we'd have had him dialed up or whatever in the queue. But that is a player, definitely, if he struggles, maybe he doesn't get drafted well, we might be able to go get later and attack that. It won't cost us more because that guy knows that we want him now. Like, there's little strategies you can implement in your drafts when you do that stuff.
Agree, 100%.
All right, let's jump over. So I do want to show everybody this. Now, if you don't know what this is, it's a very, very good, you know, data ADP. It's free for this. Now, he does have a website. I think his name's Adeiko. I always mess it up. I'm sorry. At Adeikoff. And he created amazing tools, website, all of this stuff. What we are showing is the free stuff. So I'm not showing anything behind a paywall. You can pay. I think it's $5 a month. It's probably worth the money. But I did want to show you his ADP tool. So what we're going to kind of look at is what we just talked about, kind of building it out. And you could do this for free. Like, you don't have to buy anything else and just kind of go through it. So what I did, and all you people out there watching this, not listening to it, you're going to see my very poor like cropping skills. But I went through and I kind of tried to go through four or five rounds of where ADP is at. The nice thing, the cool thing about this ADP is it shows you kind of where the picks are getting taken right now. So the picks are inserted to show you rookie value. So for example, when you're looking at this, you know, basically pick 101 is going 12th overall. So when you're thinking of like, what's Caleb Williams' value in Superflex right now? Well, he's kind of sitting there around Jamar Chase, possibly Garrett Wilson, Jahmyr Gibbs in that range. So just to give you an idea of where these rookie picks are going. Now, a lot of leagues are either drafting with rookies included, or they have the picks there. So this kind of help you, gives you ADP of where they're at, where are they going, who's going to be there. Those type of things I think are interesting in terms of where their value is at. And it's across the board in terms of where that looks at. So when you're looking at this, you know, overall, like you're thinking those tiers and where everybody's at, I think the thing to point out is like Bijan Robinson, kind of where he is going, ranked 15th or 14th, 15th in that range. He's a running back one, not a ton of running backs though, in those first five rounds. Like when you're looking at it, really there's 8 running backs being taken in the first 5 rounds, generally speaking. That's it. So just understanding where that value is at, you're going to get value later at the running back position. Okay, let's look at team build. How can I build my team out here at this ADP? I think it's a really good tool. We're going to work our way through these drafts to kind of see that. But does anything stand out, either player-wise, which I know you love. You love talking about individual players with no context. I know that. or just, you know, the tool at all, or we never really talked about this. Like, how comfortable are you drafting rookies, like in startup drafts? Like, are you a veteran guy? Like, you're going to more go towards lead toward veterans? Or are you okay building like, hey, Caleb Williams is my QB1. I'm okay building around him. Where are you at with that strategy?
It really comes down to the conviction I have in that rookie player. Do I really believe in that rookie? And if I do, then, you know what, then I'm comfortable, because I think for the most part in a solid rookie class, this is pretty indicative of where they fall in a normal startup. I don't think we're seeing anything outlandish, based on what's on the screen. I think what's really interesting about the first slide that you put up, and it goes strictly back to how you started the show talking about tiers, because you can see where Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson, where that break is, right? Quarterback 6 and then wide receiver 1. So it is so important to have those tiers set up so that you're prepared for what that looks like, because you don't want to look at it and say, okay, the first 6 picks have been quarterbacks. I've got to get a quarterback. You want to be driven by what's the tier break. And, you know, where's my value? Is my value in having a top 3 wide receiver, or is my value having walking away and having the 7th or 8th ranked quarterback, you know, on my roster? So I think that's critical. And I think this is a great visual of how it's so easy to get roped into the pressure of feeling like you have to leave, because I'm guilty of that. You know, early on when I started playing Superflex, it was so important to me to leave with a quarterback, you know, out of the first round. Sometimes I would reach at the back of the first just so I would have that comfort level of I've got my quarterback. And it's just a terrible way to draft your team. And you learn through trial and error. And so, again, I think this is critical, because you can see first 6 picks, quarterbacks, all green. So now where's my tier break? And with everything that's happened recently with the Chargers over the course, again, this is before free agency, but, you know, with everything, with all the talk about Justin Herbert and what that's going to look like in that Charger offense, I'd be much more comfortable leaning into the top 3 wide receivers at that 1-7 position than I would be reaching for that quarterback.
100%. That's why you do it, right? You're looking at the tiers and where it's at. And you're right. Like, I think the context with what's going on with the Chargers, like, maybe you feel like, and again, I'll be interested in what his ADP is in a couple weeks. Well, obviously, it's going to kind of change a little bit. I wouldn't shock me to see Caleb Williams and Anthony Richardson jump ahead, especially with what the Chicago Bears just did in terms of adding Keenan Allen. Now, you know, possibly adding whatever they're going to add at 101. With Caleb, and then 109, excuse me, maybe they go tackle. They're probably going to go tackle out of Oregon State. But, you know, look at what they built around them. Maybe you're sitting there like, I'm more comfortable with Caleb, what they're building, than Justin Herbert, which is crazy to say. But based on the context and the building, part of me believes the thing with the Chargers, and I know this isn't, you know, really on topic, but I don't care. Telesco did a terrible job building that squad. So when you're looking at the moves, they're going to have to eat some cap. They're going to have to eat the moves that they had to make. A 4th-round pick for Keenan Allen is actually not a bad deal. Like, I think in reality, with all that money that was coming off of that deal, that's fine. I think that the Chargers will build a solid roster around Herbert. And the crazy theories I see out there, there is 0.001 chance they move on from Herbert. I think the dead cap is $124 million or something like that. If they try to move him, there's no way Harbaugh took that job and was like, oh, yeah, I don't want Justin Herbert. That is crazy talk. That's the reason why he took that job. But I do think that they're going to build that inside out, like all his teams are. Offensive line, defensive line strength, we're going to see that. obviously they're going to have a very good running game. I do think that's a prevalence, but he's also a very smart coach. He understands where his money is going to be made at the quarterback position with Herbert. I think he's going to be more efficient. Maybe not this year. I don't know if Herbert's going to have that year where you're like, oh my gosh, but I do think that there could be a dip period with Justin Herbert this next year where you're really buying, because I think that moving forward with Harbaugh, he's going to be an excellent quarterback, even in fantasy. I think that you're going to see that. So I think that's going to be very cognitive dynasty drafters. If you're going to start a startup, most wait till after the NFL draft. If you do that, I do think Herbert's going to be a heck of a value probably at the back end of the first or early second, if that's where his ADP drops. I'll be surprised if it drops that low, but it could. I think it could probably 110 is probably QB 10 is probably where I'd expect him to kind of fall to. But there is definitely there's a tier there. And yes, I'd be very much comfortable with Justin Jefferson and those guys, I think, when you're looking at build. But I do think Herbert might fall in that Kyler Murray range from last year. So there's value to be had. Even Kyler Murray is sitting there as quarterback 10 to 12 in that range. That's a pretty fun quarterback to build your fantasy roster around Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb. Like, if you want to go wide receiver quarterback, I love pairing him with Kyler Murray in that same stage.
Yeah, another thing that I was kind of surprised about was Jordan Love coming off the board at quarterback 9, according to this data. I know that he, we've talked about it before, having finished a year kind of a dynasty darling based on the strong finish he had. But I was surprised that he, in this particular data, he leapfrogged Kyler and Trevor. I thought maybe he would still be behind both of them coming in at, quarterback 11 instead of quarterback 9. So I was a little bit surprised by that.
Yeah, it's happening, though. I mean, there is a very strong – it's the data guys, and I don't want to – it's the analytics guys. They love Jordan Love. So they're definitely pushing those Jordan Love up. Past Kyler, past, Lawrence and all that. I struggle with that personally. I'd rather have – I think that they're safer. I get what they're trying to do. I understand what the Packers are kind of bringing in. Jacob doing all those things. Like, I get that. But I'm with you on that. I don't know. That position makes me feel like I'd really rather just go Murray, Lawrence, trade back a little bit. Like, there's other ways to kind of do that. I would be worried if Jordan Love was my QB1. If he's QB2, that's fine. Like, I've seen guys pair Hurts and Love together. Okay. All right. I get it. Like, if you're going to go to the upside, I'm at the 1-2 spot. But if Love is your QB1, I still struggle with that, the upside, the safety net, those type of things. He kind of reminds you of Brock Purdy a little bit in terms of dynasty. Don't yell at me out there for all you NFL guys. Like, just that, I like him. I like Purdy, but they're kind of tied to their head coach. That system, are they going to build around them? What type of things? Now, he's going to get his contract because it is what it is. Like, when you're looking at Green Bay, the QB market, all of that stuff. But I'm concerned about that. I don't know how many championships you are going to be able to win with Jordan Love as your QB1.
The one thing I'll add, based on our conversation and what we're talking about here, a possible strategy that you might be able to implement is basically punting the quarterback position from a little bit of a standpoint. I mean, obviously in Superflex, you don't want to kick it to the curb completely, but thinking about how slow Justin Herbert may start off this coming season, and especially if he goes, in the first round where he went in with this ADP, if he were to go in that particular slot, there may be enough disappointment that he could be the prime target to go after maybe week 5 or week 6. Mm-hmm. And you obviously in Superflex, you're going to pay a lot for a quarterback regardless. But he may be, if you kind of punt your quarterback strategy, kind of wait on it and fill up your other positions first and then kind of go journeyman quarterback or whatever in the 5th or 6th round. Herbert's somebody that you could potentially go after week 5 or week 6 in the upcoming season to put yourself in a great position heading into 2025.
Yeah, especially if you do that productive struggle. We talked about it in the last episode, that productive struggle build. He might be a quarterback to do that with this year. Yep. Like, hey, I'm going to go productive struggle with Herbert. And I love the fact that you brought that up, because you should really identify some guys that mostly at the quarterback, probably a little bit of the wide receiver, maybe tight end. Tight end is another position you can do this, where you can identify some guys that are definitely going to probably, just based on a historical, you know, record and everything that we know about these guys, they're going to struggle maybe a little bit out of the gate. Or new offense. Okay, who's in a new offense? Who might struggle there? You know, landing spot, free agency, maybe knocked down a little bit. Who's going to lose some value, but they're talented enough to bring him back. Trey McBride was a perfect example from last year, the tight end out of Arizona. You know, Trey McBride, I mean, I saw some very, very smart dynasty analysts are saying Trey McBride's a bust, right? Like after 1 year, he's a bust. I'm done with him. I'm not going to go there. Now he's sitting there as tight end 2/3, possibly. And last year, you know, in the beginning of the year, even in the offseason, you could have got Trey McBride pretty cheap. Like, he was a very cheap guy there. Even like a guy like Kyle Pitts right now, I think, is still getting valued kind of low, as we know, with Kirk Cousins and those guys going there too. So identifying in this stuff, using this ADP and stuff, hey, who could maybe possibly, you know, maybe he's going to dip, maybe his perceived value is going to dip, and then I can capitalize on that later. That's another small strategy. I wouldn't say it works for every guy, but especially it does at the quarterback position. Guys that we're talking about, like Herbert, I think that he could definitely struggle. Maybe the rookie quarterbacks in that range too. Dak was another example of that from last year. Kind of struggled a little bit, and then boom, came out, and he was a top five quarterback the last, I think it was last, I want to say it was like the last 10, 11 weeks of the season. So those are the guys to really target and go after.
So let's tie it all together, because you said, you gave a specific example about Devin Singletary, and you mm-hmm. had gotten sniped a little bit on Bucky Irving, a couple picks earlier, like 3 or 4 picks earlier. So write that down as well, right? You're talking yeah. about identifying players who may struggle out of the box. But if you believe in a certain player and you get sniped 2 or 3 picks ahead of where you planned on taking that player, write that down as your potential oh, yeah. target to go after. Because if he struggles, doesn't get much playing time, gets injured in the preseason and spends the first couple games, you know, either on IR, or that you may have an opportunity now to flip those players based on, or, you know, even offer something else, but just based on the slow start. So I always like to identify players I got sniped on, not publicly in the chat, like you said, so that no one has that in-depth understanding that I want that player. But if I make the notation, now I know who to target in that first trade window. We talked about that too, right? So you have trade windows every season. Usually a lot of managers start off and they give it 4 weeks to see exactly how their players are going to play out. But that 4th to 5th week transition is a huge yeah. transactional window. And if you've got players that you wrote down that you wanted to target in a startup and you got sniped and they didn't produce the first 4 weeks, well, now's your opportunity, if you still believe in that player, to go and make an offer and go get them.
Yeah, 100%. And then also, as we move into the second, you know, slide here, we're going to be talking, looking at the next 5 rounds or 4 rounds, whatever it is. Understand too, the whole point of putting these things up there and looking through ADP is where you can trade ahead of some guys. If you want to get in this tier, you need to go get this guy. Okay, how do I go get this guy? All right, where do I need to kind of go? We did that a couple of times. We looked at JSN in our startup, and we said, we want a JSN. We're one of those guys, we don't believe JSN's terrible like everybody else does. And we are watching JSN kind of slip, and he slipped into the back end of the 5th. But we looked at this ADP, and we're like, man, I don't know if JSN's going to get it back to us. We were on the back end of the next round, and we kind of said, okay, we need to go target this pick. You know, what does these guys want? We went through all the kind of areas of like, hey, you know, what do they look, you know, what do they need? What do they kind of, how do they draft? What are they doing here? And we were able to, you know, go get him. And because of this, we use this ADP right here that you're seeing. It's DynastyDataLab.com. It's a perfect example for that. So go target these guys, get ahead of those tier breaks and kind of go through it. As you're looking at the next rounds, as we're going through here a little bit, and you know, we're not going to go through every single one. You can drop your trade questions in the chat. If you're watching this live, I know I have a couple in there already. We will answer those towards the end. We got some general advice stuff we're going to talk about after we go through this. So if you have any questions in terms of Dynasty or maybe how the free agency has played out, you can drop them in there. We'll get to them. When you're looking at the next 4 rounds here, 107, you know, is Rome Odunze right now. That's the ADP as far as rookie ADP goes, in March, which is always a questionable thing. 108 is Brian Thomas Jr. 109 is JJ. Troy Franklin at 110, 111 Xavier Worthy, 112 Ladd McConkey. Now that might change a little bit because the Chiefs went out and got Marquise Brown. Maybe they're not in the mold for a wide receiver. I think most thought Xavier Worthy was going to go there. But you do see a tier in the rookies. So you really have those first 6 guys. Rome is kind of the outlier. he's kind of going like the 107s in the fifth round. So you're looking at Rome being your wide receiver 2/3, possibly, depending on build. So that's how like rookies are kind of playing out here. I think really what this area does, the tiers, and like I always talk about pockets, a lot of running backs in this range. So you're looking at those second tier running backs that you're probably, if you're going zero running back or anchor running back later, this is where you're going to identify some of those guys, like Saquon Barkley, Rashad White, Kenneth Walker, possibly Josh Jacobs now that he's got a new home, Swift now that he's got a new home, right? Those type of guys are going in this range, all different tiers, obviously, in rounds. But to me, this is really the money round for tight ends and running backs, what you're seeing, because a lot of the wide receivers go. So that's the other thing. If you're going to wait on wide receiver, you're really looking at some of these wide receivers being your wide receiver 2 or possibly 1, like a T. Higgins, and you might not be comfortable with that, then you need to go get a wide receiver early.
Yeah, this for me, this is where the rookie value has a split in it, because if I'm drafting specific rookies, it's a little different. But if I'm drafting draft slots for a rookie draft, well, it just changes the value, because I may be more aggressive to go get Odunze, but if I'm going to miss out on him because I'm looking to draft the 1-8 and he goes 1-7. I may not pull the trigger quite so much as if I'm picking the actual player, you know? So, cause there's a big difference between drafting, you know, getting Odunze say at 1-8 or get it having to go with, you know, Xavier Worthy at 1-9, because there was some run on wide receivers in that rookie draft. So there's a little bit of variance there for me. So I would prefer to pick the player over the draft slot, but I would be more cautious with the draft slot. The other thing I think that's going to change here over the course of the next couple of weeks is I think you're going to see movement on some tight ends. I think Kyle Pitts, with the news of Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, I think you're going to see him move up at least a round, because I think there's going to be a lot of heat, a lot of talk over the course of the next month about just, you know, what that offense could potentially look like. And I think TJ Hockenson, depending on what Minnesota does, could fall a little bit based on the quarterback position. So I think we'll see a little bit of tight end movement there. But for me, in this pocket right here, I'm generally going to lean a little bit more towards the established young player that I've seen on the field already, as opposed to maybe, you know, going for a rookie pick in this range.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I think that this range, there's so much uncertainty with the 107 and 112 and who it's going to be. Like, even if Rome, like, whatever you want to say, like, where he gets his landing spot, because he might go to the Giants. I don't know about you, but, like, that is not my ideal spot for a wide receiver. I mean, I know the target's going to be there, but, you know, where – I mean, Drew Locke, I got a small heartfelt thing for Drew Locke, my guy Drew Locke. We're still hanging together, me and him, ever since he rapped Young Jeezy. Me and Drew Locke have been friends. But – I think that there is some, you know, you got to be clear. What you said is right. You know, what I put on the screen, if you're watching, is what their perceived ADP is. That's not who they draft based on this ADP tool that we have. That's just the picks in there. So that's generally, I think the first 6 picks, yes, those are generally speaking, like, who's probably going to go there. We don't usually see a lot of change there. But now, yeah, you're getting that 1-7 to 1-12 range. So much can happen. So much change can kind of happen in there. The guy I'm interested to hear your thoughts on, because I'm kind of pivoting a little bit in terms of like how we're kind of addressing this. So these running backs, I think Josh Jacobs is probably going to get a bump. He's going 7th round now. He'll probably go in that 5 or 6 round now, because I think there was some uncertainty about where he's going. But Tajay Spears, I think, is an interesting one. I think that he's one of those guys that we were talking about earlier, because we've talked about Tajay Spears, actually. You know, we've kind of mentioned him. We've been on shows talking about him. You know, Tony Pollard going there now, so he got signed there. I think Spears might be that guy you target late, because I think his ADP is going to go down. I could see Spears going in that 9th round now, 9th to 10th round now. I love Tajay Spears at 9-10 round value rather than 7th round value, which he was going with here. And I do think that he might be the more talented guy to kind of take over the backfield. I like Pollard. I'm a Cowboy fan. I've watched Pollard. I think it's a very good 1-2 punch there. But I think Spears might be able to be the fantasy guy. He's going to earn those fantasy points, the red zone touches, those type of things. So now that's a player I'm really interested in. Like, you know, I think I said you could, someone asked me, what would you send for him? 206 is where I really feel comfortable. I don't know if they take it, but 206 in that range is something I'm willing to give up for Tajay Spears.
As per usual, we're in lockstep on how we're viewing this. It just goes to show how quickly, you know, the value window can change in Dynasty, because you're right. We were on a podcast not that long ago where we talked about Tajay being kind of, I think that, you know, fish insulated, school of fish. All the Dynasty folks were talking about what a great acquisition he would be and get him, and look what this was going to be. And now Pollard signs there, and all of a sudden he's, you know, lost value. So for me, the negative cuff matters. So when we talk about running backs and handcuffs, I always like a talented running back that's the negative cuff, that's perceived to be the lesser of the two values, but could easily step in and outperform the person that's viewed as running back one. And that happens quite a bit in the NFL, where you get a talented understudy or a talented, you know, running back 1B, and everybody focuses on 1A. 1A gets hurt, and all of a sudden now you've got a viable starter. I love what Tajay brings to the table. I would be comfortable. I might even move the 2-3 or 2-4 for him, based on how a lot of the rookie drafts and ADP are playing out. Because I think that, you know, I like Pollard too, and I do think, you know, now that he'll have an entire offseason to be healthy and come in, and we, you know, having struggled so much last year, didn't look as fast as he normally did, didn't seem to have the burst that he had when he was splitting time with Zeke. So what does that do for his value this year? Does that mean the coaching staff realizes that he needs to be in kind of a platoon, you know, where he's getting regular breathing, you know, time on the bench to have another running back come in? Or do they expect him to be a bell cow? I don't think so, especially not with Tajay there. So I'm buying, and I'm looking to probably move, you know, like I said, 2-3, 2-4, see if I can get him. I love him in that 9-10 range, and would definitely add him as a, you know, whether you're doing a productive struggle or whether you're looking to win now, I think he brings value.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree too. In that value, that range there. When we're going to the next few rounds, really the money rounds, we're probably going to stop here. I have more, but really, when you're looking at this, you can go to the website, Dynasty Data Lab, and you can see all their other ones. What we talk about a lot, what I really, really talk about, try to get as many picks as you can in the first 12 rounds. Like, just try to get as many picks as you can, because when you're looking at the board, you know, you see that there's still talent, there's still value to be had in these guys. I think that if you drafted in this range, so right now in the 10th round, he was going as running back 23. Joe Mixon got a new contract in Houston. That's a hell of a spot for him. And I think that if you drafted I think if you bought Mixon the last two off seasons, you know, I was buying him last off season, you really hit on this guy, because, you know, while he doesn't look great and the metrics don't necessarily show out, the guy's a very solid running back too. And now he's with the Texans, where you saw what Singletary was able to do. He's going in that 10th round. I'm assuming to probably bump up a little bit. Maybe. I think he'll go like ahead of like Brian Robinson and those guys because of the offseason. So probably 8th, 9th round, but he's still a guy that I would definitely target. If you're going zero running back, I think he's a perfect guy, especially if you're doing a competitive build and you're like going right out of the gate. Mixon's those guys. Like, of the guys in this group that I feel comfortable going zero running back around, Mixon is definitely up there. I probably put him at running back 1 for zero running back, just because he doesn't have really anybody to compete with. He's going to get the volume in that range. And that's really where you're looking at. Definitely a tier break in tight ends in this spot. You're really looking at like Musgrave, Freiermuth, Schultz in terms of this going to the 12th round. So not a ton of tight end talent in that range. But definitely this is where the zero running backs are. All right, who are you targeting? Where are you going to go after them? And the veteran wide receivers, guys like Deontay Johnson in the 10th, Marquise Brown in the 11th, those type of guys.
Yeah, I think those two definitely worth calling out. I think Deontay Johnson is going to get, regardless of how you think of Bryce Young and what that offense is going to look like, I think he's going to definitely get peppered with a lot of targets. Marquise Brown probably is ADP is going to change over the course of the next couple of weeks to some degree, being in that offense. One of the running backs that I'm really interested in this range would be Austin Eckler. I'm kind of curious to see, you know, he battled injuries right out of the gate this past season. I don't think the version we saw, we may never see him be the the dominant running back from a fantasy perspective that he was, say, 2 years ago. But I do think that what we saw last year really isn't indicative of the player he is. And I do think that he bounces back to some degree this coming season. And I really think 11th round value for his ability to be both a pass catcher and a viable running back. I like that value at that particular spot.
Yeah, 100%. And you have to look at it too from this perspective. They're definitely going to, whoever rookie quarterback they draft, they're going to protect them. And you're going to see a lot of targets to your running backs. I mean, and based on that room, Eckler's the guy, right? Like, you're thinking, who is in that, right? Brian Robinson is okay. He has okay pass catching ability, serviceable. But Eckler could be that guy that steps up. And I think he's a value right now because people are pretty much leaving him for dead in terms of dynasty value. Now, he's probably going to be an aging vet off your roster. Like, you're probably not, if you go trade for him, he's a declining asset unless he really takes off and then you can pivot off of him this year. But you know, you're never probably getting back what you put in. But yeah, I agree in terms of that, kind of that value, where these guys are going. It is going to be interesting to see where some of these wide receivers bump up. Marquise Brown going 11th, he's going to get the Chiefs bump. So you're going to see Marquise Brown the 8-9 range probably in that area. The quarterbacks are interesting in this range. You know, Geno getting that competition with Sam Howell, and everybody knows I'm a Geno Smith hater. I've not been a Geno Smith fan for 2 years. I don't want him on any of my rosters. I don't have any Geno Smith. And part of that issue is I just don't think he had upside with new coaching staff. Like, there's no way they're going to, like, this was a clear sign. It was a weird deal that they made. I think it was today, right? Or yesterday. My week has been a nightmare. So trying to figure out, like, you know, is Sam Howell going to be that next guy in that offense? I actually like Sam Howell in Grubb's offense probably more than Geno. I think he fits that system a lot better. So, like, Geno's a do not draft for me. If you put him on that do not draft board, like, that is not in here. But some fun QB3s that have QB2 potential. I think Aaron Rodgers, that interesting guy in this range. Russell Wilson, you might not love the guy, but, you know, sitting there in round 11 in Superflex, that's the value. They just traded Pickett. Like, those are the type of guys in this range that kind of catch my eye.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for me, what it comes down to really is that the last slide you had up, like 6, 7, 8 was all about the older wide receivers that bring you value, like the Mike Evans and some of those guys. And this round, to me, these 3-4 rounds that we have on the slide now are really about the veteran running backs that you fill out your, you know, zero running back build with and give you, you know, viable production for a year or two coming out of that. So I think, you know, we talked about breaking it down in tiers and selecting targets. I think you do the same thing with positions, right? Rounds 1-4, this is what I'm looking for. Rounds, you know, 5-7, this is where the value should fall. Rounds 9-12, this is where the value should be there for those running backs. So just kind of having that roadmap for what you think is going to be available and then adjusting as it actually starts to play out.
Yeah. And I have that. I have it somewhere. I don't know. I write way too much for Football Guys, but there's an article out there that I did an anchor running back strategy. And I actually break down like what I look for in each round. Now it changes a little bit. So I go and update it just based on like, you know, value and everything. But I'm like, hey, you need that quarterback. You need that running back. Now I think what happens is with anchor running back, is you don't, I always put in there, you really want to get that guy in the second round because they were still valuing running backs like that. Like, hey, that second round running back. But now I think you could wait till maybe the fourth or fifth round and get an anchor running back, however you want to call that. You know, just, hey, you grab these guys. So there's definitely nuance to that. But yeah, understanding where those positions are is exactly what we're trying to help you guys with in terms of that. Now, you know, I'll just, for YouTube purposes and for you guys viewing, you know, I'm going to show you these rounds. I'm not going to talk about a lot of these guys, but 13th through 16th round, they have them. You're definitely looking at a lot of the rookies, some other guys like Singletary. That's the other thing, Devin Singletary, just for context, what I was talking about, he was going to the 15th round of this. We got him in like the 17th round. So there's value kind of even in these later picks when you're going through them, 17th to 20th. They go all, so this one goes all the way from, you know, round 1 to 25. So you could get a good idea of where some of these guys are going. And as they get new data, the nice thing about Dynasty Data Lab that I know that when people talk about it, these are all leagues that are done for that specific, you know, data set for ADP. So what happens in Sleeper when like their ADP, the crazy leagues out there, the tight end premium, all that stuff, it's all mixed. So you have to understand that that stuff gets mixed together. What he has done, and you can really filter it down to all kinds of different values. You can filter it down to basically, yeah, third round reversal. He has third round reversal ADP. He has all his different values. So you know these are the drafts that have been drafted, and it's not like that craziness of that you see out there in terms of like just ADP backs together. Now, I love MFL. The ADP that, you know, Ryan McDowell does and all that kind of stuff is still great. But I just think this is a fun tool. It's just new, shiny. That's just how it works in the space that they see here. But I used it. It's good. And it honestly, me using it has been one of my, it's been one of my favorite tools, the like teams that I built, with my co-manager that we built. So I know it works because we've been using it. I was like, oh damn, I like this team just based on how it looks at.
Yeah, I think it's a great tool. I think it's a great visual, right? Everybody kind of learns differently. Some folks like a visual ADP like that. Some people want a grid or just a ranking system. I think that's phenomenal because of the, again, the visual excellence with the different colors by positions. And it just looks good and it's mm-hmm. easy to decipher. And it's a great tool to help you walk through the steps that we talked about at the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah, 100%. All right. So we got some time. We got about 10 minutes. I know Leo wanted to talk about kind of some general advice stuff. I'll let him kind of go on his journey that he wants to take you on in terms of like how you're tracking people, advice and all that kind of stuff. But I know we have over, you know, a bunch of people watching right now. If you do have some questions, you have trade questions, you can drop them in there. I do want to get to this real quick before we kind of dive into that stuff. See, he jumped on, you know, like, I don't know his at name, but you know, it's Twitter. 109 before or after Mike Evans. So essentially, what are you paying for Mike Evans? It really comes down to where I think JJ McCarthy is probably going to be in Superflex to me. So like, especially that quarterback position, you know, part of me really does feel like, you know, if JJ goes at 108, you're still looking at Brian Thomas at 109 and where that value is at. 109 for Mike Evans on a contender is something I'm okay giving up. I'm okay giving that up. If it's that piece is going to put me over the top, I'm okay with that. I will do that. I'm more comfortable at 110 to 112. That's probably where my range is at, though. I like to keep that 109 pre-draft just based on what we don't know with JJ McCarthy and some of those guys. But that's essentially where I'm at with Mike Evans. But I have to have a win now squad where I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think we always talk about being draft active, and it's nice to have the 1-9 in pocket so that you can make adjustments based on value that falls during a rookie draft. But if bottom line, if I'm wide receiver deprived on a team that is really ready to make a championship run, then I'm willing to pay that to get Mike Evans. If you know, I'm looking at a 1 or 2 year window of really making a serious title run, and that's the difference maker for me. I'd rather have Mike Evans in that scenario.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Leo. Oh wait, we got one. I like this. Is there a bad destination for Marvin Harrison Jr.? Or what's the worst landing spot for him in fantasy? Leo's going to get mad. New England.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, just based on their track record with how they haven't, it's not only that they've swung and missed, and I know it's a new regime and it's, you know, new coaching staff, but they've swung and their history has just been so bad at swinging and missing at wide receivers. And not just that, they haven't developed any. So granted, new coaching staff, but I need to see it before I believe it. And I need to understand what the quarterback situation is. So that's where I'd prefer that he didn't go.
Yeah. You're a New England fan. You're a New England fan, right? Yeah.
I'm in New England. I don't necessarily, you know, I mean, my son is a huge New England Patriot fan, so I don't disparage them simply because I don't want his ire.
I think my biggest problem with what they did is they just kind of rehashed the Belichick regime, like with Mayo and those guys, and their offensive staff and everything that they brought in doesn't excite me as like a fantasy manager for Marvin Harrison Jr. like that being his location. I do think that they trade out of that pick. I think that if they don't like the quarterbacks, they really want to get that capital, the Vikings move up, all those things that could happen. Then that'd be great. Cause I know Marvin Harrison Jr. is not going to New England because I don't want him there. Selfishly, I tweeted out something like in November of laughing about what is going to happen with the dynasty community when he goes to New England. So I kind of want it to happen just so I can laugh about it. But like, I, you know, for me, that's it. If I had to rank them, like the teams in the top 10 where I wouldn't want to see them go, probably, you know, Tennessee probably took themselves out. They're probably going to go offensive line. I don't love the Giants spot either, like because of that same issue with the quarterback position there. But, you know, I would, you know, Cardinals, again, it'll be interesting to see kind of what they do. The Chargers, I would, Herbert and Marvin Harrison Jr. together would be awesome. I would love, then we're going to not have our Herbert bump or drop anymore with Marvin Harrison Jr. True. But as far as worst landing spot, get me out of New England. Don't let him go to New England.
And I think you're right. I think, you know, when I talk about them having not developed wide receivers in the past, there's been no page turn for me. You know, you're right about the whole new coaching staff and turning it over to Mayo just feels more like Belichick Jr. is what it feels like. And until I see a clear line of delineation between how they approach things, which I haven't seen yet, I kind of just feel like it's going to be more of the same. It's kind of like prove me wrong, because this is, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's kind of how I view it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I just, you know, it's just, don't go there. Don't go to New England Patriots there. So again, as you guys are watching, do you have any questions, anything football related works for me too. I love football more than I love fantasy. So you draw some football questions, we'll get to them. We'll answer them the best of our ability. But I do want to ask you in terms of this, because you did put in there like, hey, you know, what do you look for? There's a lot of social media stuff, especially now that free agency is gone. Everybody has a take. Everybody's got a take on this, on this, on this, on this. And you know, the takes that I probably dislike the most is like, not the really the clickbait, because every take is clickbait. That's fine. That's what it is. That's just generally what it is. I think the takes that I hate seeing, the one, and I play in a lot of leagues with fantasy guys. I see them like say a take, but then I don't see them actually do it in their leagues. So like, they'll like, oh, so-and-so is my tight end too. And then you look at their roster and you try to trade him, and he's like, oh, I don't want him. I don't value him at that. It's like, whoa. Use that he's tied into on Twitter. Why aren't you valuing that in the league? So, like, I do think there's some, you know, but normal fantasy people aren't going to see that because they don't play in leagues with these guys too. So it is overwhelming, I think, with all the information on social media time. So how do you navigate it? What do you try to do and look for?
So the two pieces of advice, and I think this time of year it's kind of critical to have this lens, is that, first of all, you don't need to have a take on every single player in the league or every single transaction that took place. And I think if you're following folks that have to weigh in on everything, I think that's a warning sign. I mean, I get it. I understand engagement's king and you're trying to get out there, but you really don't need a take on everything. The other thing I don't like this time of year is anybody who speaks in absolutes. There are no, I mean, we talked about it with Tajay Spears. There are no, if you were banging the table on you're banging the table for him 3-4 weeks ago, and now you're not, I get it. Things change, but you need to take that into consideration whenever you have a take and explain it and be able to talk to it and how it's changed. But you get people who talk in absolutes all the time about every player. So those are the two things I would really say to be careful about. Just kind of watch and use a discerning eye for folks who have to have a take on everything, and then folks who speak in absolutes in March, because it's a little ridiculous. So kind of digest the tone and understand what you're getting, and gravitate towards the folks that have a rational eye and are willing to discuss and debate, because I think that's important.
Yeah. I think what you said is really, really important. And I do this now. I was kind of bad at it before, but just understanding, just, you don't have to have a take on every player. When I first started, I wanted to have a take on every player, because you kind of getting out there and doing those things. You know, it's been great for me this offseason and last offseason. I don't have a Justin Fields take. I have no Justin Fields take. For me, I liked him in fantasy because he ran a lot. If I could get him for that, that's fine. For Dynasty, I had no shares because I was concerned about his long-term outcomes as a quarterback. But I don't hate Justin Fields. I just was a player for me. I was like, not comfortable with that. It's not really a take. I wasn't out there saying to buy, sell, all these craziness. And that has helped out my blood pressure, and that has helped out like my stress level, because a lot of people get upset about Justin Fields right now. You see that take, you can do that. I think quarterbacks are probably the one position that probably gets the most, right? Like that, I think is the big one in terms of that. And I love that we have a quarterback question. We could segue into this from Andy. What do we think of the Sam Howell? I love it. I like that for Sam Howell to go to that offense. I mean, he was not going to do anything in Washington, and I don't like Kingsbury's offense anyway. So for him to go to Grubbs and them to give up the capital that he did, I know they flipped it and whatever. I think that's a positive sign. I don't think Geno's the guy. I still think Howe is a fun grab, and he could produce a lot of fantasy points in that offense. Like that, if you're talking about a fantasy perspective, yes. I think from a NFL player projection, their ability to spread it out wide, the three wide receiver sets in Grubbs' offense, the quick reads, Michael Penix Jr. really excelled there. Howe struggles with the reads. Like, that's one thing that he does struggle with. He holds a little bit too long, those type of things. If they can just work him in offense where he's just using his physical tools, Howe can be a quarterback that's serviceable. Now, you ever going to win a Super Bowl, Sam Howe? I don't know. Probably not. But he could be a serviceable, good quarterback. And I think that's what should excite you about that situation.
Yeah, I also think the improvement in the offensive line is a big deal too, because he took such a beating last season with all the sacks. And I think him being able to be upright a little bit longer and not have to run for his life on almost every pass play will make a difference for him. And good coaching matters. And I think in this particular instance, he'll get the guidance that he needs and the weapons that are available. I think it is a really good fit for him.
Yeah, no, 100%. I do too. What do you do with Stidham, Darnold, and Brissett? Current starter, stash, and super flex for a third while I can. Well, Stidham is... If I could flip something for Stidham, I'd probably do that. I've never been a big guy on Stidham. Brissett, I kind of feel the same way about Brissett. I'm not like a huge, you know, Brissett guy either. I would hold, though, till the draft, because if they don't draft a quarterback, his value is going to shoot up. So, like, I would hold him. Darnold, I don't know. I think that if you can get a second for Darnold, I'd be comfortable with that. Again, it really just depends on the Vikings. So that's the thing. Like, they don't draft the guy, you know, his value is going to shoot up. They draft a guy, you're not getting even a third for Darnold. So, like, that's where the question mark comes into it. Really, who do you believe in? To me, like, if I can get something for Brissett and Stidham, I'm doing that probably. If I can get a second for Brissett, I would. If I can, I'd wait till the New England, because I think that's the one team that might not draft a quarterback. Darnold, I'm going to hold, because I'm a Darnold truther, and I think that he might, if he can get out there and just play a little bit, you like that a little bit. But a third is too light for me in Superflex. I need something more.
Yeah, Stidham is an easy trade for me, pretty much regardless. And when it comes to Darnold and Brissett, I think Darnold's the most talented of the three. But you're right. What does Minnesota do? Do they draft early? Brissett, I think, has a chance simply because of his ties with New England. And I think the fact that they think highly of him, and I have no confidence in New England going out and actually drafting the right quarterback, keeping the pick. I think, you know, potentially they trade back and think that Brissett as a starter for this year is actually, you know, a viable plan. Brissett's worth a third, and, you know, if you can get it. But again, I would probably hold him because I think he has the best chance to start. I think Minnesota does something quarterback wise in addition to Darnold. And what does that end up looking like? Ultimately, if you told me these were your three backups in Superflex and, you know, you could get a third for all three of them, I don't have an issue with that. The only problem is they're your current starters. So you need to try to hedge your bet on one of them. It's just a question of whether you want to hedge your bet on who the most talented is, which I think would be Darnold, or who has the best chance to start, which is probably Brissett.
This comment made me laugh. I love this. But QBs, they don't value QBs, unfortunately. And I don't believe in any. They get them off your roster, sir. Like, if you don't believe in those guys, which I totally get. Like, if you're looking at it and they don't value it anyway, and I think he said it, they're starters right now in the league. That's why they're stashed. I don't think.
I misunderstood. Okay, my bad.
So if that's the case,
sometimes that happens.
If that's the case,
get a third. Yeah, get a third.
That's fine. I mean, you can re-roll and just get those third picks and go through. I would try to flip two of them. You know, for me, Brissett is the guy that's interesting because I do think if New England doesn't draft a quarterback, he could be the starter. And he's that bridge guy. That is the one guy that I think you might be able to strike a little bit more volume out of, and value out of there. All right. If you have more questions, you can drop them real quick. But I think we're done tonight. If no one's got more questions, I thought this was a good show. I think breaking down kind of the ADP, where it looks at, how you kind of navigate your league in terms of where that value is at. And that's good. Any other final thoughts, Leo, before we get out of here?
No, I think we're good. I think the only thing I'll mention is that my first article for Football Guys dropped this week. So if you're interested at all, it covered basically some life hacks for making trades in Dynasty or Redraft League. So if you're interested, check it out. It's up on the site of Football Guys now.
I'm such a terrible co-host.
You're not. It's fine.
I forgot to mention that. Leo's at Football Guys now. So go check his stuff out. I think that it's a really cool thing for him to be over there with us. You know, he's the OG of Dynasty, but I did enjoy the article, 11 life hacks to improve your trading skills. Again, just context. How do you trade? What do you do? Make sure that you dive into that and you really kind of, you move forward there and you look at how he does that. So you can get all his, you know, his verbal skills out there into his writing and going through it. I really love my soapbox part. That was a funny like area in there and it, you know, reading the room, a miss. And the biggest thing is, and we'll leave you with this, a miss doesn't mean it's a failure. So like, just cause we have misses, that doesn't mean you're a failure. You know, we all have misses out there. We can laugh about them, but you just got to learn from them. That's just part of life. That's just a big thing. So we appreciate you guys. We'll be back in a couple weeks. We're getting close to the draft. Finally, we need more content out here. So we'll be diving into some other stuff in a couple weeks. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.